This morning I would like to introduce you to a friend of mine. His name is Paul, sometimes also known as Saul. You may have heard of him. He's well known in the Acts of the Apostles. I know that some of us have some problems with Paul. He can be a little difficult sometimes. He's a little bombastic, a little judgmental, a little pushy. But I hope that if I give you a personal introduction, you might come to see him more as a friend. You know that Paul had a experience on the road to Damascus that some people call a conversion. I prefer to think of it more as a mental breakdown that was inevitable considering his background. He went from being the chief persecutor of the church to being the chief evangelist for the church. Complete turnaround. So Paul was raised in a very religious family. He says himself in Philippians, he says, I was a Hebrew, born of Hebrews. I was circumcised on the eighth day, and I was a member of the people of Israel. In other words, his family was extremely devout, very religious, and he was raised to be a religious person, to be righteous. Can you imagine what it was like in his family? You know, Paul, in our family, we keep the commandments, all the commandments. Don't ever do anything that would cast doubt on the faith of your family. So Paul spent his life trying to live up to that and to be a righteous person. He did everything right. He went to the synagogue. He read the scriptures. He recited the Psalms. He said the prayers. And he did everything he could to keep himself pure and clean in mind and body so that he'd be spotless. He was a righteous person. He was a righteous, religious person without anything that you could point to that was wrong. Only one problem. He was miserable. Why? Because when you have to earn your righteousness every day, you can't help escaping the doubt that maybe you haven't done enough. Maybe you don't deserve it. And what if you were to do something wrong without meaning to? What if you were to slip up and make a mistake? What if some doubts were to creep in and make your intention impure? You know, religious purity is a very difficult thing to keep. It's very hard to do. In other words, Paul had what we would call performance anxiety. He never knew if he was doing enough. You know, no matter how much you do, it's never enough. So it's called performance anxiety. No matter how much you try to keep yourself in the light, there's always this shadow side that you have that you don't want to admit. And what you can do when you have a shadow side like that and you don't want to admit it is you can project it on other people. And then they can be the bad people that you can persecute. It's those other people that have the problem. And then you persecute them. It's called scapegoating. We see it all the time. It's those other people. It's those immigrants and those Muslims and those homosexuals. They're the ones that got the problem. If we can just get rid of them, then we'll be okay. And that's what Paul was doing. He looked for the people who were breaking the rules, breaking all the religious rules that he'd been brought up with. And he said, those are the bad guys, the Christians, these followers of Jesus, and I'm going to persecute them. And he went after them. He was enraged about these heretics, and so he would drag them before the council and charge them with heresy. He would say, these people are destroying our religion. They're the problem. They are an offense to Almighty God. In this way, he was sort of able to keep himself pure, you might say. It wasn't his problem. And that was what Paul was doing when he's on the road to Damascus. The story says he was breathing threats and murder as he was on the way to Damascus. Isn't that a great phrase? Can you just imagine him? He's red-faced, he's huffing and he's puffing, he's intent on these terrible people. He's got the arrest warrant in his pocket, you know, and he's going along. He's just this fury of raging self-righteousness. Well, can you see any cracks in his armor? You know, he's been around Christians because he's been persecuting them. He knows what they believe. They believe that Jesus is actually the Messiah, that he was killed and he was raised from the dead, and in his name there is forgiveness of sins to anyone who believes. And he's seen these Christians, how they love one another. And he's seen how joyous they are and how full of the Holy Spirit they are. He was there when they stoned Stephen, the first martyr. And he saw how Stephen's face was shining even as he was dying and how he was filled with the Holy Spirit. So Paul knows something about these Christians. So imagine the contradictions within Paul, inside Paul, as he's storming along. On the one hand, he wants to stomp out this pernicious sect. But on the other hand, something inside him says, you know, they might be right, and I might be wrong. So, on the road to Damascus, finally, this internal contradiction within him becomes too great. And he has a breakdown. He has a complete, full-blown identity crisis. And he realizes that everything he believed in before was false and empty and wrong. He thought he was serving God, but actually he was persecuting God. The story says that a bright light shone around him, and he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice. The voice said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And all he can say is, who are you, Lord? In that moment, he realizes he does not know God. Who are you anyway? I don't know who you are. The answer comes back, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city and you will be told what to do. It's a breakdown. Everything has fallen apart. Now he's helpless. He's blinded. He can't even see. And in that moment, Paul's life changes. And what he finds is that despite the fact that he has fallen, there's no judgment. You know, there's no angry God. There's no crushing blow. All he has is a sense of peace and acceptance and love. The struggle is over. There's no more righteousness that he has to gain every day. He's free. He's forgiven. He's accepted. And he's loved. You know what they say? The bigger they come, the harder they fall. And Paul fell a long ways. So he goes into the city, but everything has changed for him. He spends 3 days without any sight. You might say he spent 3 days in the tomb. And then Ananias comes and lays hands on him, and he recovers his sight. And Ananias teaches him about the truths of the Christian faith. And from that moment on, he begins to preach that Jesus is Lord. And everyone that sees him is just astounded. How can this person who was persecuting us now be saying, the risen Lord is the one to believe in? How can this be? And Paul spends the rest of his life spreading the good news about Jesus. Well, what happened to Paul on the road to Damascus is basically the same thing that happened to the disciples in today's gospel lesson. They were there out fishing and they saw the risen Lord. And Jesus commissioned them there and sent them out to spread the good news. And Paul insisted that he was just as good of an apostle because he too had seen the risen Lord and had been commissioned and sent out. You know, Paul's experience on the road to Damascus is the essential Christian experience. You know, we have all had our eyes opened to the risen Lord. We have all been told that we are loved and that we are accepted. And we have all been commissioned to go out and feed the sheep and tend the lambs and take care of the flock. And every person in the world, I tell you, is a member of that flock. So like Paul and like the disciples, we have seen the risen Lord and we are sent out to tend the sheep. So now that you have been introduced to my friend Paul, I hope that you will find that he's your friend too. And that even though he can be a little hard to deal with and a little hard to understand sometimes, he too can be your friend. Amen.